And the epistle appointed to be read for the first Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 13. Brethren, knowing the time that it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is past and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and impurities, not in contention and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 21. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, by reason of the confusion of the roaring of the sea and of the waves. Men withering away for fear and expectation of what shall come upon the whole world. For the powers of heaven shall be moved, and then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a similitude. "See the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth their fruit, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen, I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. "For the powers of heaven shall be moved." Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear people, there are, as we know, certain signs which must happen before the end of the world. In fact, there are six principal signs that will precede the second coming of Almighty God and the judgment. The first sign is that there must be a general preaching of the gospel throughout all over the world. The second sign is that the Jews will be converted. The return of Enoch and Elias will be another sign. The fourth sign will be a great apostasy and the reign of Antichrist. Extraordinary disturbances of nature will be another. Lastly, a universal conflagration will take place. In other words, the end of the world will be brought about by a conflagration, a burning, and it will destroy the earth and the atmosphere. St. Thomas Aquinas says that Christ will restore the world and then rebuild it. Concerning the order in which these principal signs will occur, this is not known. With regards to Enoch and Elias, we know that they are still alive. They have not yet undergone death, the penalty for sin. God has preserved them in order to send them to preach at the end of the world. In the book of Malachias, we read, "Behold, I will send you Elias the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with anathema." St. Matthew writes, "Elias indeed shall come and restore all things." Based on the wide belief of the fathers of the church, there is a threefold reason for the return of Enoch and Elias. They are to announce the second coming, to preach penance, and to convert the Jews. At the end of the world, Enoch and Elias are going to battle the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition. They will be humble and men used to doing penance. Enoch and Elias will prophesy for the length of 1,260 days. According to the book of Daniel, the persecution under the Antichrist is going to last for 1,290 days. And therefore, the preaching of Enoch and Elias will be 30 days shorter than the reign of Antichrist. According to a certain author, they will appear in the period when the persecution is unleashed with the greatest violence. St. John says, "And if anyone tries to harm them, Fire will come out of the mouths of these two witnesses to devour their enemies. Anyone attempting to harm them will surely be slain in this way. These witnesses have power to close up the sky so that no rain will fall during their time of their mission. And they also have power to turn water into blood and to afflict the earth at will with any kind of plague. Now, after Enoch and Elias have converted the Jewish nation and they have fulfilled their 1260 days, then the Antichrist will kill them. Their bodies will lie in the street for 3.5 days. The Antichrist will forbid them to be buried. And when the 3.5 days are completed, our Lord will, in the sight of everyone to see, raise them from the dead and then proceed to take them to heaven. Then our Lord, with the spirit of his breath, will kill the Antichrist. It is believed by some that Saint Michael the Archangel will be the one who destroys the Antichrist and sends him back into the abyss of hell for all eternity. And my dear people, it is not impossible that we may live to see the end of the world. No one can be absolutely sure when the world will end. But what is certain is that the end of the world will come. And for this, we must be prepared. These are the events, my dear people, which St. Luke writes of in today's gospel. He records the words of our Lord when he says, "The powers of heaven shall be moved." This is a reference to just one of the signs that will precede the end of the world. That is the extraordinary disturbances of nature which will occur. And we may ask, why does Holy Mother the Church give us this gospel today, the gospel explaining the second coming of our Lord, when we are beginning the season of Advent, which is concerned with the first coming of our Lord? A new ecclesiastical year has begun, and the gospel presents us with the second coming of Christ. And the reason for this is that in preparing for our Lord's second coming, we are at the same time preparing for our Lord's first coming. And Advent, which name means coming, the name given to this liturgical season is very appropriate, for on this day we begin to prepare ourselves for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the next 4 weeks, we are to concentrate on preparing our hearts for Christmas. We are to prepare ourselves worthily during Advent, to do all we can to prepare our hearts for our Lord's first coming as a little child in Bethlehem. When our Lord comes this Christmas, he is going to need a place to rest. Jesus Christ, the small, helpless infant, relies completely on his mother Mary. She will find a place for her divine son to rest. She will place him in the crib. And this crib is the heart of each and every one of us. The God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, who hides his divinity under the form of a tiny, helpless infant, looks to find a worthy resting place in your heart this Christmas. And today we should be asking ourselves, as we begin the season of Advent, how will our Lord find me on Christmas? How will he find me prepared? Will he find me prepared to receive him in Holy Communion? Will he find my heart a worthy resting place? Now, my dear people, now is the time during Advent to make our hearts a worthy crib for our blessed Savior to rest in. Let us use the next 4 weeks to make the crib of our heart as warm and comfortable as possible for the King of Bethlehem. And this we can do by removing any obstacles that may be in the way. to make a good confession, perhaps. Maybe it has been a while since we have been to confession. What a perfect opportunity then to prepare for our Lord's coming. You know, we can also prepare the crib for our Savior by the practice of virtue, especially the practice of charity. For charity is the bond of perfection. It is what makes us like unto our Lord himself. It can be very difficult at times to practice this virtue, but the greater the difficulty, the greater the reward. In doing so, you will prepare your heart for the coming of our Savior this Christmas. And as we work our way through Advent, let us not forget to ask Our Lady herself, the mother of our Savior, for help. In our litany, we call upon her, saying, Mother of Christ. Well, let us not only say this when we pray her litany, but rather this phrase should be frequently upon our lips throughout the day. For it was she who gently and perfectly placed our Lord Jesus Christ in that crib on that first Christmas night. She knew how best to prepare the crib for her son. So let us then, during the season of Advent, and especially today as we begin, ask our Heavenly Mother for assistance in preparing our hearts so that when we go to receive our Lord in Holy Communion on Christmas, he may find in us a worthy resting place. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.